Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside Patriots Playbook. It's a Wednesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook, joined by PFW's Eric Scalabino. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing, my friend?
Well, you know, I think inside Patriots Nation, we've probably all been a little bit better, but it's time to sort of flip that page over today.
Yep.
Don't you think?
I do. And just real quick, the intro music you just heard,
yes.
If I can just digress very early in the show
okay.
for a minute, the intro music you just heard was from the NFL film soundtrack.
Right.
And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't start off by saying that we mourn the loss of Steve Sable.
Yeah, I mentioned it a little bit on yesterday's show. We played a lot of the NFL films music. Mm-hmm. And I know yesterday was your
That's
day
right,
off.
You're right.
But I'm just saying that you're right when you say that. And so I think it is entirely proper that we make mention of that simply because he changed the way not only that we view football, but the way we view sport,
mm-hmm.
period. I mean, we expect so much now because we're used to getting so much. And what we got from the Sables, who's, we said his dad, Ed, was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame last year, in 2011. So, and undoubtedly Steve is going to follow him up, as soon as he's, eligible to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's a shame. He died of brain cancer. I didn't realize he was 69 years old.
Brain cancer?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, inoperable brain tumor.
Ooh.
So, it was just, it was kind of depressing a little bit yesterday when you think about it, but the legacy that he's left, the employees that are there, the tradition that has been established, I'm sure will continue.
It was a different way of storytelling for sports than had ever been told before.
Oh, yeah.
Using the slow motion film, the soundtrack underneath, it was really revolutionary, when it was first, when they first broadcast it.
Right,
and it had become the standard of how to do that. How to shoot football games too.
Right,
so a lot of it stemmed from NFL films. I remember, just really quick story, when I was, I hope I still have it, but when I was very young in the business, right around the time you and I started first working together.
Oh God, let's not go back that far.
I had actually sent NFL films a resume.
Really?
Yeah.
And to be a videographer?
Just to be something there, a producer or something.
You wanted to work.
Yeah. And I got a handwritten postcard from Steve Sable.
Wow.
Saying, Eric, your resume was forwarded to me from HR or whatever and everything. It was very impressive looking. He's like, at the moment, we don't have anything for you, but he's like, I really and I like the story because I had to write a story. Like, I had to write an NFL Films episode
right.
of something of my right. choosing.
Right.
And he read it and loved it and sent me a handwritten note. And I don't know if I still have it, have saved it. I think I do somewhere, but...
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe at the time, because NFL Films has been huge for a long time. And I thought, man, the guy who's actually running the company sent me a handwritten note. That's pretty...
very cool.
Pretty amazing.
Very, very cool. All right, so while we have that going on, clearly there's a lot of stuff going on with this football team that we're going to jump into today, and we will also begin to look at the Baltimore Ravens, the opponent on Sunday Night Football on NBC, coming up this Sunday night, 8:20 Eastern Time kickoff. Jerry Sandusky, the longtime voice of the Baltimore Ravens, will join us here in the playbook in 20 minutes. It's Jerry with a G.
Yes, if you saw the SportsCenter story on him, and if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube or somewhere. I'm sure you can find it. It's well worth it.
He, and to say the least, because of his sharing the same name as the rather infamous Jerry Sandusky at Penn State, then you can imagine that he's had to go quite he's had to go through quite some trial and tribulation with his family.
Yeah.
And we won't have him rehash everything here today because I know he's probably gotten to the point where it's ad nauseum and trying to tell the story. But we will at least at some point address it for you so you can get a sense of what it is that he's had to deal with personally. Because
a lot of ignorant people out there, let's put it that way.
This Jerry Sandusky is a great guy. He's been a part of our program and a part of our playbook coverage for the last several years. He's always been willing to come on and talk football with us, and obviously we've had significant games with Baltimore in the past where he's agreed to come on and speak with us about this.
Yep.
So, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I assume he's certainly willing to come on and be with us today, because not only does he balance the voice of the Ravens job, he's also a television anchor, I believe at WBAL in Baltimore.
Local sports guy.
And then, you know, and he's trying to do all this other stuff too. So, you know, he's a BMOC, but he's had to deal with a lot of extra stuff.
You know, it's fun. You would think that, and like you said, he's a local television, he's not just a voice, a faceless voice that you hear when you go to the Ravens games.
Right.
He's a guy who has a fairly high-profile position in his community.
Right.
And when you see the Sports Center piece that they did on him, how some of the people reacting saying, oh, we know this is really the Penn State Jerry, just because you changed a letter in your name doesn't mean we don't know who you are. How ignorant can people be? Just do a little research. Just do a little bit of research.
He can easily
find out who this person is.
Yeah, he's had to fight a lot of stuff to the point where people see the name and, you know, he's checking into a hotel and they gasp and they say, would you like to come in here under an assumed name? And it's like, no, I am who I am, you know? So we'll get him to speak to some of that. I don't want him to have to rehash it because, quite frankly, I try to put myself in his shoes.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I were in that, you know, it would be a little difficult. I understand it, that people have to ask it, but we're also going to talk football with him because, quite frankly, we know how big a game this is. Mm. So let's.
One of these teams is going to be 1-2.
One of these teams is going to be 1-2.
Most likely.
One of these teams is not going to be 1-1.
I can't imagine
that's going to happen at this stage of the game with the, you know, rules that have even been further adjusted for overtime now.
Yeah.
So ties will be indeed rare. Let's put it that way. They may have been on the virtual, on the brink of extinction, tie games in the NFL now. So here's where we stand. Let's kind of recap. First and foremost, how about a little recap from practice today? Because I know you were just over there and you probably talked about it with the PFW guys.
But
for those that come right in here at the top of the show, let's bring us up to date on who is out there today.
Well, thankfully, not a whole lot to talk about from practice. And I say that because last week we had two straight days of perfect attendance. And today, no surprise, Aaron Hernandez was the only one who wasn't out there.
Got it.
So they're still relatively healthy. Unfortunately, you know, Hernandez is one of their key players on offense, and he's not going to be out there, it seems like, for a while. But everybody else was, including the new guys, Branch, Winslow, and Kudavides. So everyone's back out there. They were in shells today. They had gone full pads on the previous 2 weeks to start off work, but maybe they'll do so tomorrow, who knows. But they didn't have any today, so a little bit of a lighter easing into this week. It is a Sunday night game, so maybe that has a little bit of something to do with that. Maybe they're going to go with pads tomorrow. We'll see.
That's also, I guess, we'll begin at least to find out the workout process for Tom Brady and potentially some new teammates out there as well today, because the Patriots did release three and sign three officially yesterday after the fact that after our program had signed off yesterday at 4 o'clock Eastern time. We expected Kellen Winslow to come in. The team made it official after we left the air yesterday. And then they've also re-signed two others, and they have dumped three. And I'll kind of let you recap a little bit, but at the same time, anything surprise you?
No. I mean, I had expected that at some point this year Kudavides would come back.
Well, his locker and Deion Branch's lockers were basically intact.
Yes, they and left
we
the nameplates and stuff
we
like that.
We have been reporting that over the last couple of weeks since the cuts came down to initially reduce the roster to 53.
Correct.
So the fact that both are back really doesn't come as a surprise.
No, here. not really at all. And the Winslow one had kind of been in the works a couple of weeks ago when they brought in Ho'omanawa Nui. They had worked out both of those guys that same week. So, yeah, no surprise on any of those, really. Solace was the wide receiver who they traded for. They cut Lex Hilliard, the fullback. And backup linebacker Mike Rivera, who was a practice squad guy last year. I mean, those are three cuttable players. and you're going to bring back guys who can contribute for you away. At least two of them who've been here before.
Yes,
and Winslow, who is at a position of need and can, I think, you know, as long as he can stay on the field, could be the best-case scenario replacement for Hernandez.
No question. And we will deal with that. Kudavides, I know, was re-signed because he's, you know, particularly well thought of in special teams, and mm-hmm. we saw some special teams breakdowns last week.
We did. You know, particularly, I think a lot of people are focusing on the blocked punt. That came down to a mistake by a rookie. You know, I looked at the film again, and there was really nothing other than just the rookie made a mistake on the edge. If he had just blocked that man a little bit harder, that punt would have never been blocked. But you're right. There's a need at linebacker, though, still on this team, John. And I think they went with the more experienced guy in Kudavides, who's been around the league for 8-9 years now, as opposed to the young Rivera. And, you know, that's a position where they haven't been able to keep all of their guys on the field for a full 16 consistently. So, yeah, no surprise at all.
All right. And then in terms of Kellen Winslow, you know, we have talked about this over the course of the last several weeks. The fact of the matter is, or less, you know, since we learned that he's also gone down, Hernandez went down this last week, that this team was dedicated to running a two tight end set on offense.
Yep.
That it was a sort of a fundamental way of changing the offensive game plan from previous years when they were mostly relying on wideouts as opposed now to tight ends. And so rather than sort of scrap the plan because Hernandez is down for 4 to 6 weeks or thereabouts, they've decided to insert someone who they certainly feel has the capability to replace Hernandez's output.
And I like that. I like the fact that they're going to take that approach because, as we saw against Tennessee, much more effective when you have the threat of both running and passing. And if you can use the same personnel to do that, you're much more dangerous because the defense can't guess as to what you're going to do based on your lineup, based on your formation.
This last week we saw them. We saw them dedicate to the run, and what happened? They got stuffed.
Yeah.
Especially in the second half, they got stuffed.
And make no mistake, the tight ends against Tennessee were very huge in blocking for Ridley and helping out the offensive line. And against Arizona, they weren't. Ho'omanawa knew he came in and wasn't nearly as good in that role as Hernandez had been. So if Winslow can come in and handle both the receiving and blocking duties the way Hernandez did, then I think this eases the pain of not having Aaron around for the next month or month and a half, however long it's going to be. And I like the fact that, you know, they had no choice but to go three wides, really, against Arizona when Hernandez went out because
they just didn't do a good job executing it.
No.
It was horrific execution.
But they went back to the old Patriots of, okay, put Brady in the gun, throw it. They threw it for, 47 times, whatever.
Yeah, but they waited too late to do anything about it, and the play calling was questionable at best anyway.
Well,
it was, Eric. You have to admit, the plays that were called in certain situations.
Are you talking about the third downs in particular?
Absolutely.
And looked at those plays because everybody, I do this new segment now on Mondays called After Further Review. Go back and watch the game film and ask for fans if they want any particular things, and tops on their list were the third downs.
Right.
And the Gronk holding penalty.
Right.
And went back and looked at the third downs, and they weren't bad play calls. There were openings there. The first one, which was going towards the lighthouse in that direction, the first half.
North.
Yeah. There was a wide open hole to Woodhead's right that he did not see. And had he taken that, was an easy first down and might have even been six. He didn't see it. Now, Ho'omanawa knew he didn't do a good job of blocking Sam Acho, who came in and sort of got, like, dove at Woodhead's feet and forced him to slow down a little bit. But Woodhead didn't read the hole very well. He went straight ahead and ran right into the backs of his offensive line. Didn't make a cut. I mean, you could have driven a truck through that hole. Bad read on his part. Not a bad play call.
Okay.
The second one, which was some people thought it was him, it was the third and six where he lost 9 yards. Some people thought, and I think some of the players in the locker room confidentially told some members of the media that this was the plan, was supposed to be a throwback to Brady, who then throws it downfield.
Right.
Donald Thomas, unfortunately,
that's where
was to blame on that one.
Right.
Because had he just blocked Darnell Dockett, that play would have been able to have been executed. Now, no guarantee it would have been completed, but they would have been able to at least
execute the play.
So I don't think they were bad play calls. They, unfortunately, came down to individual player errors on both of them.
And this is, of course, where now we find some instance of, well, it certainly looked then, without going back and having the ability to look at it over again like you have had, you could certainly understand why someone would question the play call.
To see it live and not have any replay or whatever, yeah, absolutely. You could
because
say, oh, what the hell are they doing?
It's like, why are they doing this at this particular time?
Yeah.
Right. You know, the fact of the matter is that if you're going to go back to the old Patriots without the two tight ends, you're going to go three wide and put Brady in the gun.
Let him throw the ball.
Let him throw the ball.
Right.
Why run the ball at all? Throw it.
Right.
It's a throw first, run second option. And then also, why aren't you up-tempoing? Because Arizona had a chance to be able to adjust to whatever the Patriots were doing. So why don't you go no huddle in that instance and do exactly what it is that you're very good at doing, and that's keeping the other team from making adjustments. And I think, to me, that was the biggest problem I had yesterday in Nitpick Tuesday. It's like, okay, the play call stunk. I'm glad for the explanation today, so thank you for that. But on top of that, then, why are you still running the ball? Why don't you put him in the gun and up-tempo this thing and get Arizona gassed on defense and do what you actually do best?
Well, yeah, you could have made an argument for that, I suppose. I mean, because they completely were imbalanced. They completely were imbalanced play call-wise. They went 35 pass, 31 rush
balance
in the first game.
I mean, balance is great when you can get it, but it's all about winning the damn game.
No, I know.
So if you got to throw the ball 70 friggin' times to win the game, throw the ball 70 times.
Yeah. And, you know, on those last couple of drives there, they clicked. They were starting to get it. And unfortunately, it just wasn't their day. They didn't deserve to win that game anyway.
No, they didn't.
You know, so I think the result,
all in agreement on that. They do. And the fact of the matter is that even on the last drive, after they got that inexplicable fumble recovery, on that last drive, they kind of blew that one too. I don't understand why they don't at least run the ball rather than Brady take two kneel downs in effect to the middle of the field just so they could square it up between the hash.
Yeah.
Or take a shot down the field or something.
Right.
That just blew me away.
They went backwards instead of forwards on that.
Yeah, they did.
They really did, and they played way too conservatively.
Way too conservative.
Brady was hot. The receivers were hot. You had time.
Again.
You had time.
Again, play calling issues.
Yeah.
And you can see that coupled with what we just talked about, why that is a large issue with a lot of fans.
Well, and let's just put this in perspective.
Okay.
Nobody was complaining about McDaniel's play calling after they whooped Tennessee. Were they?
No.
No. Because they won big. They lose one, and now they're ready to fire and run the guy out of town.
I don't know that we're ready to fire him or run him out of town.
Oh, well, a lot of people that were making comments on our blog and Twitter
were like,
McDaniel, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Relax.
Okay. I'm not ready to fire him yet. Okay.
Well, some people who are extremists.
What I do want to see, though, is I do want to see an ability to adjust, because one of the things that this team
they were
horrible in adjustments. We've seen this over the years, and it really didn't matter who the coordinators were. But at halftime, they're able to make unbelievable adjustments. My point yesterday was 6-6 at halftime. Mm. Why don't you go in there and say, all right, we don't have Hernandez.
Right, yeah, we got to do something different.
Let's peel it back. Let's go three wide. Let's go no huddle. Let's go dink and dunk. Let's get it down the field. Let's gas that defense, and let's put the ball in the end zone.
Mm. I thought the second half would be a lot different than the first half. I thought the same thing, John. I said, all right, Hernandez, the first half, Hernandez went out. They didn't see it coming. They were a little discombobulated. You got halftime. I totally expected it to play out differently in the second half. And unfortunately,
They did not adjust
to
the way that we're accustomed to seeing them adjust.
Right, right. And it had a little bit like the Super Bowl 42.
Okay, so
where you thought, okay, the Giants are doing this and that, they're going to come back and adjust, and they
didn't. And this sort of begs the bigger question now. As we progress here, are we going to see a fundamental problem in adjusting? Is this, you know, still, you know, Josh getting used to the new personnel, and the new personnel, the players getting used to Josh, because he has been away for a few years. There aren't too many guys on that side of the ball that are actually here when he was here as offensive coordinator beforehand. So are we still trying to learn nuances amongst the parties here?
There may be a little bit of that, but I think the foundation of the offense is still basically the same. The terminology, type of play calling, virtually the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having two tight ends instead of one and three receivers instead of two, you can do some different things, but I don't know. I think it's just too early to tell. I hate to cop out with that, but, you know.
Well, we'll find out more this week, and we'll find out more the week after that and the week after that. But, I mean, at what
hopefully
point in time?
Hopefully they don't need to make adjustments.
Well, that's what I think. That's the great unsaid here. You know, hopefully they're going to start clicking to the point where they won't need to make these adjustments any longer. But the thing that was most alarming to me about the end result on Sunday was is the lack of ability to adjust. They just did not do it, especially now, to the way that we've seen them do it in the past.
And again, to provide a little bit of perspective, they are good for at least one of these games a year. Last year it was Buffalo.
Yeah, and the year before that, Cleveland.
Year before that it was Cleveland.
Right.
Year before that. What was that, 09?
Just seems to be awful early in the year to be shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, isn't that, in a way, a good thing? Well, get it out of the way now.
All right, well, I hope that that's the case.
Learn from it now, as opposed to December or, God forbid, January.
Yeah, maybe, but that means there's no guarantee that that still won't happen somewhere. That's why there's no guarantees here.
No.
So it's disturbing anytime you see it, no matter where you see it.
True.
You know, you've got a team that, you know, you got a head coach, you got a smart head coach, you got a smart coordinator, you got a future Hall of Famer at quarterback. Why are we having problems communicating?
That's a good question.
Okay. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking the question that nobody has yet really asked. Why are there communication problems? There shouldn't be. When you consider who the individuals are involved here in the decision-making process, why is there a communication problem? And I'm, you know, my guess is that they still haven't worked out all of the issues between coaches and players, players and coaches understanding what they want in certain situations. And again, I get back to the change in offensive philosophy from the three wide, spread it out, run first, pass second philosophy now to where we're going to be a little bit more balanced and we're going to go from the two tight end set. And we spent all offseason working on this two tight end set because we're blessed to have two tight ends with that kind of capability.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden one goes down. So yeah, I do see the need for going out and getting a Kellen Winslow because this is a guy that caught 75 balls last year. So he's certainly capable of giving you the same type of stuff, albeit as long as he's healthy.
Yeah.
He's capable of giving you the same type of thing you get from Aaron Hernandez. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he didn't pan out? Or what if, God forbid, he or Gronk or somebody else gets hurt? Then what?
Well, you also have to hope that and remember, they brought in Ho'oman Awanui because Fells has been inactive the last couple of weeks, and they signed Fells in the offseason to a 3-year deal. They obviously felt like he could be part of this whole tight end future movement that they're going with here. Hopefully he's active this week, and then you can deactivate Ho'oman Awanui and then have your three tight ends, Gronk, Fells, and Winslow,
mm-hmm.
and fully able to execute as if you had those three guys with Hernandez being in there.
Just
I don't know.
Like
he's been practicing, so hopefully
it seems like the injury really threw him for a loop.
It really
shouldn't
did.
Have.
No, yeah,
it shouldn't have.
I understand why it did, though. I do understand why it did.
Well, then, to me, if it did, you know, and understanding why it did, it's clear to me they put too many eggs in one basket, and then they dropped the basket,
yeah.
and the eggs cracked. How long can I go with this analogy?
Well, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah. All right, that's a whole nother one. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make an omelet here. So,
yeah.
All right, there's other issues that we need to get to. I want to get your thoughts on the whole Wes Welker thing that's going on because I really believe a lot of it is overblown. I understand points made on both sides, but we want to get into that as well. But I want to take a timeout here, and then we're going to come back with Jerry Sandusky, the voice of the Baltimore Ravens, and we'll get into some of the Ravens' activities as well, because they, like the Patriots, 1-1 going to this thing on Sunday. Jerry Sandusky in the playbook coming up.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. BIOS is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on BIOS, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. BIOS available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
John Rook, Eric Scalavino, Patriots playbook for a Wednesday here on Patriots.com radio. We'll get to Jerry in just a couple of moments as we're having some issues trying to get him hooked up. So we're going to get that here in just a moment. Let me get to a couple of emails. By the way, let's open it up to you right now. Webradio@patriots.com. Email address, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook. Twitter page is @JRook0722. And again, thanks for all the Twitter followers, and been able to do a lot of conversing on Twitter over the last few days as well, answering a lot of questions about the team, both during the show and during the off-air hours. So continue to keep those coming. @JRook0722 is how you reach me on Twitter. Here's an interesting email, and it kind of leads in, Eric, to what we were just talking about with Welker and Julian Edelman and that whole issue. And I was going to ask you about what you thought if this was all overblown. And John writes, and he says, just a thought on the hot topic of the week. Is it possible they're trying to build trade value for Edelman? Welker is a known commodity within the league. However, Edelman is not. Is it possible they're building toward a trade, including Edelman, for someone, say, like Danny Amendola? Seems far more logical than spite or anything else. And I'd feel much better about that situation than all of the other speculation that's flying around.
I don't like to discount anything when it comes to this team and this coach. But I don't see that they're trying to shop Edelman, and especially for Amendola. People are in love with Danny Amendola for some reason around here. His name comes up all the time.
I know a couple of guys are really happy they have him on their fantasy teams. Other than that, I don't know.
No, and Welker can. I mean, Welker, Edelman can do different things for you that they love.
Like block downfield and some of the things that they feel like he's actually better equipped to do than Wes Welker offensively.
He's a good athlete.
Right.
He's a good
right.
punt returner. He
right.
can play defense in a pinch. They like those kind of players.
We'll get into that in just a moment. We'll get into more on the whole Edelman versus Welker thing in a moment. Right now, though, I want to bring into the playbook Jerry Sandusky, who's the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Ravens and the Ravens Radio Network. Jerry, it's John and Eric. It's great to hear from you again. Thank you for taking the time today.
Guys, my pleasure. Good to visit with you.
Good to visit with you. You know, I'm assuming that you guys are just as surprised as the Patriots are at being 1-1 at this stage of the game. How surprised were you to see the Patriots at 1-1, considering what happened this last weekend?
I was shocked when I saw the score, and now that I've gone back and watched that game and seen how good your defense is this year, I really can't believe it.
It's a little bit of a surprise to us, too, which is something that we've kind of gone through over the last couple of days. But I would tell you, conversely, what I'm most impressed about right now with Baltimore, and actually, I was just as shocked, really, to see you guys lose at Philadelphia.
Yeah,
I realize you're on the road, and winning on the road is always more difficult in the NFL. But the way that I saw your team come out firing in no huddle on week one, I'm like, whoa, they have discovered, you know, the fountain of youth or something in Baltimore. So how much of a disappointment was it for you guys to see that happen this past week?
Yeah, it was a huge disappointment, especially since they had to leave with 5 minutes left. And then, you know, the defense doesn't hold it. The offense gets the ball back with 1:55 left, and they can't get their rookie kicker in position for a game-winning try. So that was a huge disappointment, but it was the kind of disappointment they had last year when they were just so flat in week two. But, John, consider this. You're talking about the Ravens' explosive offense. I'm talking about the Patriots' tremendous defense. I think this is what the Mayans had in mind when they said the world was going to end in 2012.
I love that. Isn't that great? Because we weren't talking about either one of those things this time, you know, last January.
Oh,
were
God,
we?
No.
Exactly.
Well, so tell me how this transformation, in your estimation, took place, and has it taken hold to the point where you feel like some consistency can help make Baltimore a better football team?
Yeah, I'll tell you where I really believe that the transformation happened was last year's AFC Championship game. Joe Flacco played at such a high level. I mean, he played the best game of his career in the postseason, and I think the organization realized, okay, he's ready now. He's no longer a developing quarterback. He's there. They have the parts around him. They bring in Jacoby Jones. Torrey Smith is developing. He's a great young wide receiver with great speed. So why not give him more control at the line of scrimmage? Let him do what Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, the greats, have done for years, and that is get to the line, read the defense, adjust to what's available, and strike as quickly as possible. And it was a smart decision by John Harbaugh, a smart decision by Cam Cameron. And I think, look, like any time you make a big change, it's not going to be perfect week after week. We saw that in Philly. But as this team goes through, especially the first half of the season, I think you'll see Flacco become very comfortable in this system.
He's already become more comfortable than I thought really even possible. What, in your estimation, has caused him to elevate at that level? What, I mean, you mentioned, obviously, the playoff game against the Patriots, where, by rights and reasons, Baltimore should have, could have won that game here last January. What else about the offense, in addition to Flacco, has helped push this team to a different level?
Well, they have a very young, athletic offensive line that can do some things that the older, bigger line couldn't do in the past. Flacco is very comfortable with spreading him out, using more of sideline to sideline play construction. But the biggest thing, John, is just like anybody in their job. Joe Flacco is in the fifth year of his job now. He has started every game since he came into this league. He has a maturity level he couldn't have had even last year, 2 years, 3 years ago. There's just a job comfort level he has now. And one of the Ravens receivers told me, so the biggest difference between Flacco this year is that he doesn't hesitate to go right up to a receiver after a misplay and make an adjustment. In the past, Flacco would wait until halftime and talk things over. Now, he's the leader. He goes right to the receiver, makes the adjustment, and they don't have that miscommunication again. That's the big difference.
Interesting. So he's really taken a more of an, I guess, a take-charge attitude on the field with individual players around him, and you kind of think that maybe that's what the quarterback's supposed to do, but some players do it better than others. Maybe Joe himself feels he's arrived.
I think he's playing with the kind of presence that you see in quarterbacks who become true leaders in their organization. You guys are used to seeing it with Brady in New England. They saw it for years in Indianapolis with Peyton, Drew Brees in New Orleans. And while Joe doesn't have the Super Bowl ring yet, that all those guys have, so he has not yet earned the right to be at the same level of the conversation, he's starting to show a lot of those same traits as great quarterbacks show, and that is not only the tangibles, he can make any throw, but the intangibles, he can get guys around him in the right positions at the right time. And look, in a 3-point game, in a 6-point game, that's usually what's going to make the difference, that one play.
So it sounds, Jerry, like Flacco's playing with a lot more confidence than he ever has.
I think so. I think he's doing that on a consistent level. We saw it all preseason. We saw it early this season. And, you know, he didn't play a perfect game in Philly. That actually struggled in the second half. But I think you'll see a really strong performance by Joe Flacco come Sunday.
So my question to you then is, as a team, how much of a hit did they take to their confidence dropping that game against Philly, especially the way they did?
I don't think they took that much of a hit because there was nothing that came out of that game that the Ravens weren't already aware of. You know, sometimes you lose a game and it reveals something that you as an organization weren't thinking of. Like, wow, we thought we were a great passing team. We're not. We thought we had this kind of a defense. We don't. The Ravens came into this season knowing that you can't lose the defensive MVP and not take a hit. So the guy that they bring in, Paul Kruger, he gets a back injury the first week, so he's not even available the second week. They know this is a team that's going to take several weeks to figure out its defense, to find its defense, to figure out ways to scheme and to elevate its play. So it wasn't like the Philadelphia loss showed the Ravens some underlying flaw or weakness that they weren't aware of. And those are the things that undermine a team's confidence. So in that regard, disappointing loss, but not the kind of loss that should linger in terms of its effect.
I'm just kind of wondering because the Patriots lost, and the feeling kind of was, well, they deserved to lose that game. But it sounds to me like the Ravens lost that game thinking, man, we should have won that game.
Well, they really did because Flacco throws what would have been the put-away touchdown with about 5 minutes left to Jacoby Jones. And the replacement refs call pass interference on Jacoby Jones, and clearly it wasn't offensive pass interference. Now, I want to put an asterisk on that comment. I'm not saying the only reason the Ravens lost was the replacement refs. But when you can look in the mirror and say, hey, we lost that game because of our offense, our defense, and the refs, you at least feel a little bit better about your chances moving forward.
Sure. Let's flip it to the other side, Jerry. Defensively, it seems like Father Time just keeps on ticking in the middle in Ray Lewis. You mentioned Paul Kruger, who's kind of taken over as well for the injuries on the outside at linebacker as well. And then Haloti Ngata, I think a lot of people consider him to be maybe one of the top defenders in the entire NFL. How does this team continue to perform at the level it does and be able to maintain relative strength and health overall. And can I get a little bit of what Ray Lewis is drinking?
Man, I tell you what, if you want what Ray Lewis is drinking, drop the microphone, lose the headset, and go work out 9 hours a day.
Yeah.
That guy is an animal. The more I get to know Ray over the years, the more I find out what he does in the off season. There's no mystery to why he's in great shape. Yes, he's got a DNA blessing like all pro athletes do. But to this day, he still outworks everybody. Remember the work ethic that Jerry Rice had for all those years?
Yep,
that's
sure.
What Ray Lewis does. And yep. That's why guys like Jerry Rice and Ray Lewis are just so much better and last so much longer than everybody else. They have the magic of the good Lord gave them a little bit better abilities than you and I, for sure. But they work a hell of a lot harder than everybody else among their peers.
There are so many other targets defensively that have to concern the Patriots. I mean, we've had some fun already with the quote-unquote Patriot killer, Bernard Pollard, at strong safety. Ed Reed, who is kind of like Ray Lewis. He just kind of keeps on ticking. We mentioned Paul Kruger stepping in for Terrell Suggs. And by the way, there is expectation that Suggs will be back in the mid-season range, or if not before?
I wouldn't say expectations. There's hope that he might be back late November.
Okay.
Suggs has said he'll be back. But I think organizationally you hope he's back, but I don't think you can expect him to be back in the year of an Achilles tendon tear.
Okay, fair enough. The other corners, Lardarius Webb, I'm not even sure where you can start and where you can finish when it comes to describing some of the superlatives where Baltimore is defensively. So give us your sense of where this Baltimore defense has changed for the better, if at all, since last January.
Well, I think what has changed is the nature of this defense. In years past, this is a defense that was spectacular on the edges and really strong with the leadership in the middle with Ray Lewis. Now it's more like a good baseball defense. It's strong up the middle. You got Haloti Ngata, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Bernard Pollard. Just rock solid up the middle, still looking for itself on the edges, because a year ago you had Jarrett Johnson and Terrell Suggs on your edge, and now you're looking at a rookie Courtney Upshaw, an inexperienced player in Albert McClellan, and a guy coming back from an injury in Paul Kruger. So the edge is not what it was, and the Rams knew the edge was not going to be what it was. But their secondary stronger, and Haloti Ngata makes the middle of this defense rock solid. So instead of being a defense that closes in around you from the edges first, it's now a defense that is more inclined to try to punch you in the mouth right up the middle.
All right. Well, that certainly doesn't come as a surprise to me. What then, in your estimation, needs to be a chief concern for that Ravens defense than looking at a Patriots offense that, looks like it slipped a wheel this last week, lost Aaron Hernandez for a while, but went out and signed Kellen Winslow and then brought Deion Branch back into the mix? What do you think worries them the most?
The offense with the Patriots, the worry list always starts with Tom Brady. You've had years where you've had Pro Bowl receivers and tight ends around him. You've had years where you had guys who were a little bit more ordinary around him, and you always have a spectacular offense, and it's because of Tom Brady. I had a chance to look at the preview of the Football Life on HBO about Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in the championship game last year where midway through the game, he's talking to Ed Reed. Ray's talking to Ed Reed, and he nods over in the direction of Brady, and he says, "Look, we're playing against 12. This is a mind game. You got to remember, he's thinking like we're thinking." And I have no doubt Sunday is going to be a game played very much between the ears of Tom Brady, Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed. Not to take anything away from all of the weapons you have on offense, but they're all more valuable because of what Tom Brady does. I don't know of anybody in the league right now that does a better job of finding a hole in a weakness, the hole in the weakness of the defense, and exploiting it as quickly as possible as Tom Brady. You can't disguise it on him. The only thing you can do to Tom Brady is to get to him before he gets to you, and that's really hard to do.
So where, Jerry, do you think would be the biggest weakness in this Ravens defense right now?
Right now it's on the edges. It's just the weakness that inexperience always causes. It's Courtney Upshaw having two games of experience. It's Albert McClellan playing on the outside for the first time in his career. It's Paul Kruger, not sure what his condition is going to be with a back problem. Inexperience always creates concern and opportunity. If those inexperienced guys grow up and play big Sunday, you know, those worries go away. If they are not completely ready to go, well, then the concern becomes Tom Brady will figure that out in a hurry.
Well, that'll certainly be one area to watch then for us. And, Jerry, before we let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least follow up. I know that a lot of our fans saw the ESPN feature on you a week or so ago concerning the unfortunate circumstance at Penn State in the offseason and how your name is very, very similar to the one that the former Penn State coach had. And I'm just wondering how you managed to go about your day-to-day activities without having someone like me ask you about it every day and whether or not you've kind of, you know, reached your fill with it.
You know, I don't know that I will ever go about my day-to-day without somebody asking me about it, and I understand that. If my name were Bernie Madoff, it would be the same thing.
That's true.
And I've always wondered if there isn't a truck driver somewhere in America named Charles Manson, and a whole second parallel universe of people like me who have names of people who they're not related to, but those names are infamous for heinous crimes. And I, John, I completely understand that people are always going to confuse me with them. So, like I've tried to share with my family, the only thing I can control in this is how much patience I develop and how much peace I can find in the quiet of my own life, because I'm not going to find it anywhere outside of my front door, at least not for a while.
Jerry, do you just want to sit back and scream sometime? Why me?
You know, early on, I had a couple of quiet moments where I really did do the whole why me, this is so unfair. And then I thought, you know what? Nobody has ever accomplished anything in their life being a whiner. The world has too few winners, too many whiners, and I don't want to be on the whiner side. So I just try to deal with it as, look, in the fall, the leaves turn. In the morning, the sun rises. There's some things that just happen, and they're going to happen a lot. This has happened to me. It's going to keep happening. And the challenge for me is to become a stronger person through it. That's the only thing I get to control in
this. Well, I will give you this. You've stood up with great aplomb. I congratulate you for it. You do a great job with what you do. You've got a pretty good football team that you're following there. So I guess life could be a lot worse, couldn't it?
You know what? It really could. I've got a great job. I've got a great wife. I have a great kids, and I'm healthy, and I'm way ahead of the curve on all of that. And I count my blessings every day. And the other thing that I thought of very early on in this, John, is, look, I know this for fluky reasons is a very high-profile situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help but think, how many people deal with such difficult problems and they have nothing to hang hope on? So if I can be a model to just one person of, hey, people can call you names, people can throw things at you, they can say things about you, and they can all be false, and you can stand up to that without lashing back at them. If that helps some kid who's being bullied in school, if that helps a single parent who can't pay her bills, if that helps somebody with a terminal illness, all problems so much bigger than I have, then I'm happy to pick this up and carry it.
Jerry, thanks so much for the time. It's greatly appreciated. Best of luck to you on the way through, and have safe travels for the rest of the season. We'll look forward to visiting at some point in time down the road.
Guys, great talking with you today, and can't wait for this week's version of the Game of the Century.
It is true. It'd probably be like that, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we meet again at some point in time this year.
Yeah, we'll see you down.
Here's open.
Yeah, well, I'll be down there this weekend, Jerry, so I'll try to stop in the press box and say hello.
Please do. Pop in the broadcast booth. I'd love to see you.
Great.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you.
You got it. Jerry Sandusky, who is the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Ravens. It's Jerry with a G, Sandusky. Not
good
Jerry
guy.
With a J.
How do you not root for a guy like that?
You got to root for a guy like that. You absolutely have to. He's been dealt a pretty wicked blow here, considering everything that's happened at Penn State and his namesake.
I think he called it on the Sports Center. He called it an inconvenience.
It is an inconvenience,
which is,
when you consider.
I mean, it's a great inconvenience.
All the things that people go through in life. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
A significant inconvenience,
significant,
I should say.
Yeah, perhaps.
But he's dealing with it as best as I think you could ask anybody to.
He's a role model where that is concerned. Mm. You think you have problems?
Mm.
Try walking a day in his shoes.
Yeah.
You know, and see what it's like for you. So, all right, we got very little time here before you go, and we got some callers on the line here, and I need to get to the Wes Welker issue because it obviously has been burning up the airwaves, not only here but in talk radio and really on ESPN nationally about this story and whether or not the Patriots are underutilizing Welker because they have some kind of a problem with either his work ethic, or they're ticked off at him because he didn't sign the contract extension of the offseason or what have you. And my whole point is that, and I said this on yesterday's show, Eric, I really have a hard time believing that anything would supersede winning in this organization.
I know. It's really tough to think that. But you know what? And I've said it before, so I'm going to use this answer again. I don't put anything past this coach. I really don't. I never say never when it comes to him. So
you're telling me this is possible?
I think
that a vindictive vendetta could be possible?
Here's what I think is possible. I think it's possible that they know that Wes isn't going to be part of the future of this team.
Correct. And I said as much here, saying that I don't believe he'll be back next year.
And in preparation for that eventuality, I think they're starting to try, possibly, to get his replacement ready. And the only way you get that replacement ready is by giving him reps.
Putting him on the field in key situations that Welker would normally be in.
Yeah. So that, to me, makes some sense, if that's the thinking behind it. Now, it could be what Bill says, you know, personnel grouping, matchup.
What Brady told us this week.
Right. I mean, that's the company line that's being towed.
Right.
And it could very well be true. But I also see a plausible argument to be made for that other one that I'd said, where they need to get Edelman up to speed as a receiver. They can't rely on him exclusively as a backup in years to come.
And, because they don't expect to have Welker beyond this year.
And Edelman will be a lot easier to sign at the end of this year than Welker will be.
Well, that's the other issue. They keep his numbers down. He can't go out on the open market and collect as much.
I don't buy that.
He would be easier to re-sign even if they wanted to re-sign him.
Well,
is that true?
I don't buy that argument because people know for the last 5 years he's caught 100 passes, basically. They know what he can do. Well, the concern is how far into the future can he continue doing that? And can he continue to do that with a guy who's not Tom Brady throwing in the ball? Unless he goes to, you know, New Orleans or Denver or somebody who has an established great quarterback to throw him the ball. People know what Wes Welker can do. So what he does this season I don't think is as big a deal. But I think it's entirely possible that they're trying to prep Julian Edelman for beyond this season.
Okay. That would make some sense. That would make some sense.
And I'm trying to make sense of it, right? Because to me it doesn't make any sense. If you have one of the best receivers in the game.
He still was targeted 11 times, and he was more of a part of the offense after Hernandez went out on Sunday.
As long as you have Welker, who is, agreed, one of the best receivers in the game.
Yeah.
Use him as much as possible.
I would think you'd want to use him, milk him for all he's worth, especially if you think that he's not going to be here next year.
Right.
You want to get as much out of the guy as you possibly can.
Right. Ride him like Seabiscuit, as one of my friends said yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Ride him like Seabiscuit. I couldn't think of a better analogy, because he's not going to be around anymore. Mm. Let's get out of him what we can get out of him, because next year he won't be 31, he'll be 32.
And he won't be, chances are, here.
That's true. All right. Good stuff, E.
All right.
Did we miss anything today?
We talked about Branch.
Branch is
about
back.
Winslow,
not a surprise. Well, no. Winslow is out there working with Brady as we speak right now.
Yeah.
So that will continue to develop. It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds on Sunday.
Yeah, and Branch did talk in the locker room today.
He did.
Kudavides talked.
Great.
Really like him. Good guy. Winslow was too busy, he said, and we kind of knew that going in, so we're hoping tomorrow we'll be able to talk.
We hope.
Okay. Yeah. Because we do want to hear from the guy.
Yeah, got to. He's not going to give you.
Hopefully,
any,
at this time tomorrow,
he's not going to give you the. I'm a warrior.
No,
man,
well, I bet you somebody
I'm
brings
a
it up. I bet you somebody brings
well,
it up.
Well, unfortunately, when you make a gaffe like that, you got to live with it.
Oh, yeah.
And that happened when he was what, 20 years old at the University of Miami?
Right.
You know, he's 29 now. So we're talking about something that probably happened damn near 10 years ago.
He should take a page from Jerry Sandusky.
He should.
Jerry with the G Sandusky.
That's a good point by you.
So hopefully tomorrow around 2 o'clock, I'll have some reaction from him that we can talk about.
All right. Good stuff.
All right, buddy.
Eric Scalavino, PFW. Before we go to the break here, and if you're on the phones, hang on there. We're going to get you leading off the next top of the hour. But I want to throw out a question that I want you to answer for our email and or Twitter and or Facebook question of the day. I like to kind of mix it up a little bit in midweek, and I think today is a good day to do this because there are still some pieces that are left unsaid in this overall trying to put the Patriots offensive puzzle back together again. And quite frankly, we're not really sure what's going to come out this Sunday against the Ravens. The Ravens, as clearly we've already discovered here in the program today, have a very formidable defense that's not going anywhere. It should probably be just as formidable as it was last January when the Patriots were fortunate to win the AFC Championship thanks to a blown field goal opportunity. So let me ask you this. If you were, I don't know. Let's go this route. If I'm Josh McDaniels, finish the question. I want you to put yourself in the offense coordinator's shoes right now. Strap on his thinking cap. Open up his playbook. And knowing what you have at your disposal, with the two tight ends now, Kellen Winslow's in there, you've got Deion Branch back. You know, do you stay the course? Do you mix in a little three wide? What do you do? If I'm Josh McDaniels, I would what? Okay, I want you to consider that for a moment. And then I want you to answer the question. If I'm Josh McDaniels, I would blank. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Facebook, John.Rook. Twitter, at JRook0722. Fire it off. If I'm Josh McDaniels, I would fill in the blank. Next.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Facebook, John.Rook. Twitter, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. At JRook0722. That's how you get us here on the program. Question of the day. If I was Josh McDaniels, I would... what? What would you do? Several answers already coming in. Let's hit them up here. Brian on Facebook says, if I was Josh McDaniels, I would avoid the noise and stay the course with the plan set during the offseason. Okay? So... clearly a Josh fan, Brian, and you know, forgive, I would say, for lack of a better phrase, the hiccup against Arizona this past week. Hopefully the inclusion or the insertion of a guy like Kellen Winslow into Aaron Hernandez's slot will work out. Keep in mind that I think we have to give Winslow at least a little bit of time to adjust, you know, because if he pulls an Ocho on us and doesn't quite come up to speed on the playbook, what good will it do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there are always X factors involved. Always X factors involved. Hopefully it'll work out. We'll see. Axel says this on Facebook as well. He says, if I was Josh McDaniels, I would throw a ton of screen passes to hopefully force Ed Reed closer to the line of scrimmage and then go for the bomb to Lloyd. Okay, so he's going to use the short stuff to dink and dunk, and then he's going to try to load up for the big one over the top. I don't think that that's a horrible idea anyway. And then Abigail sends this via Twitter, at JRook0722. She says, if I'm Josh McDaniels, I would go back to what has worked in the past. Turn it over to Tom and all of his weapons. So we've got staying the course, we've got mixing it up, and we've got turning it back to the past. That's very interesting. First three responses to the question are three basically different answers. So it tells me, just as a small sampling here of those of you who are listening today, you're really not sure what you do. And you're not sure what you think of what has transpired this week, especially in light of Aaron Hernandez's injury. And so, you know, it's taken all offseason to develop this vaunted two tight end offense where, in theory, again, you don't really know if the Patriots are going to come out winging it or they're going to throw it. And that was what was so effective against Tennessee. And then one of those, you know, chinks in the armor goes down and then bang, you're become that much more one dimensional and Arizona jams the line of scrimmage and shuts down your running game and puts pressure on your quarterback and you can't do anything about it. If you are a championship football team, you've got a way to overcome it. And this is where we get back to my original point and my original nitpick that I really went off on yesterday, and I'm sure many of you share the same problem, is the lack of versatility in the offense, or the lack of the versatility isn't the right word, the lack of an ability to change. They need to have the ability to be versatile, to move with something that's different. Whenever someone throws you a curveball, you got to learn to hit it. Let's throw a baseball analogy in there. Maybe you can figure it out. Maybe I can figure it out. But that's really what I'm saying here. Got to be able to roll with what's thrown at you. And they had a big injury thrown at them on Sunday, and they didn't roll with it. They stumbled with it, and they lost with it. That's why I asked the question today. So if you're Josh, what do you do? Tim says on Facebook, if I were Josh McDaniels, I would call Charlie Weiss and ask how he managed to make such timely adjustments and play calls with half the offensive talent we have now. See, that's a good point. We probably have half the overall offensive talent then as we do now, and yet they're setting all kinds of records when Charlie was the offensive coordinator. Tim goes on to say, when it comes to the Ravens, forget about stretching the field deep and concentrate on spreading the field wide. Dink, dunk, screens, keep Brady clean, get him into a rhythm. If he's throwing at receivers' feet, get him more protection. Three-step drops, play action. If the deep ball's there, take it, but jump balls in Ed Reed territory are INTs. They're picks. This game could all come down to one turnover. I could not agree more, Tim. Tim's my soul brother from another mother. We happen to think a lot alike in terms of football terms here. But that's kind of how I'm thinking. Keep Brady upright. Get him in a rhythm. Man, if I'm doing anything, I'm keeping that. I'm not allowing Baltimore to make any kind of sub packages at all. You know, I'm getting those guys up there after him. I want Bernard Pollard to come after him, the Brady killer himself. You know, if you recall, of course, he was the one that did the damage with Kansas City a few years ago that knocked him out for the year. So I'm just saying, let's get them crowded, and then you can go over the top. Then you can beat them. And this is where you got to have all hands on deck. So whatever ill will you might be feeling, if you are at all against a guy like Wes Welker, now's not the time to show it, because you need to win the game. And if Bill Belichick is conceited to the point that he really believes he's beyond having to produce, I really believe he's mistaken. I really believe he's mistaken. If he's that petty that he disagreed with Wes and he's kind of showing Wes, okay, hey, this is my territory. You can't come over here and pee on my fire hydrant without paying the price. Then I'm first of all, that would stun me. Second of all, it's doing a disservice to the franchise. You're not respecting the franchise. You're not respecting the organization. You're not respecting the team, the history, the fans. You're disrespecting everything but your own ego. And that would be sad. And I think we all realize that egos that get that out of control end up getting eaten. So we'll see how this thing develops. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. I just refuse to believe there's any sort of conspiracy against Wes Welker. I refuse to believe it. Now, I buy Eric Scalavino's, I buy his impression that this may very well be nothing more than, you know what, we know we're not going to have him next year. Let's see what we got. We got to develop the guy. That I believe. I think that's plausible, and I think it's realistic. I think it's realistic. All right, let me get to some phones here. Melvin in Tennessee. Thanks for hanging on, Melvin. You're in the playbook.
No problem. Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Melvin. What's up today?
Okay, I got a statement and two kind of questions I guess I want you to finish out. But if I was Josh McDaniels, I want him to, of course, release Tom Brady and quit being so timid. I think with the play calls, I think he's very timid to kind of with the play calls.
Yeah.
And just get back to what they're doing. You know, I'm gonna agree with one of the other ones, just saying that, you know, just do what they do best,
mm-hmm.
and throw the ball, and if he's at a rhythm, you know, until he gets back into a rhythm and get him some good confident throws, screen passes, and stuff like that, get him back into a rhythm. There's no way you're gonna get him back into rhythm by just allowing him just to complete, just sit back there and, you know, with a questionable play call from 3rd and 6 with runs and stuff like that. That's kind of showing you don't have confidence in them right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my first thing. And
okay.
So next thing I had to see was, did you discuss the Brian Waters? I just read on the internet that they had tried to offer Brian Waters some more money to come back this year.
Yeah, we mentioned it briefly right at the top of the show. And the bottom line is that Brian Waters, it appears now, if the Boston Globe story is true, that they offered him $4 million this summer to come and play. Based on his Pro Bowl year, whatever, which would have been considerably more than the $1.4 million that his contract called for this year. Then, and he still turned it down. That tells me one thing only. And he hasn't, wait a second. By the way, he has not yet retired. Okay. That has not been made official. He hasn't said, I'm retiring. So he has not made that statement, which tells me one thing. If he's going to play, he's going to play on his terms. And I think you've probably heard that. And I couldn't agree more. So if the Patriots really did offer him the money, and I have every reason to believe that this is true, and they offered him, you know, what, triple, basically? Triple?
Yeah.
What he was going to be paid normally, and he still turned it down? Then he wants to play in only one place, and that's in Texas, where it's closer to his family. And the Patriots are not willing to capitulate. And I think the Patriots are well within their rights to do that. So why would you, and by the way, why would you toss him to a competitor if it's Houston? So I'm just saying, it looks like they've done about everything they can do. Brian does not want to play here for any amount of money right now. So as we said earlier, it appears the Waters ship has sailed. It's a moot point. He ain't going to be here next.
Well, that sucks because Donald Thomas was getting manhandled pretty much. Especially a lot of those runs in the backfield later on this past Sunday.
Well, this is going to be the challenge of Dante Scarnecchia and everybody else on that offensive line to pick up the gap now, because now you don't have the depth and you don't have a Pro Bowl caliber player at guard who could certainly help this team right now. There's no question he could help this team. He does not want to be here. I don't think I'd take it personally, New England. I don't think I'd take it personally, Patriots fans. But he has priorities in his life that don't mesh with ours. End of discussion. If there's no way that he will take the money to come here, what else can you do?
Yeah. Well, I got two more quick little things. And do you think Kudavies is better than Carpenter? I see they picked him over Carpenter. I still thought maybe Carpenter was productive whenever I watched him.
Well, he might be better. He might be better. Bobby Carpenter, and I kind of wonder that out loud, too, to be honest with you, Melvin. But the response that I got was that Kudavides is more of a special teams guy, whereas Carpenter's more of a defensive guy. That doesn't mean that Carpenter's needs might not be felt as the season progresses if he doesn't sign in with somebody else. But right now, what they need is someone that's primarily special teams. They felt like Kudavides fit that role better. And frankly, I can't disagree with that.
Okay. Well, last thing, getting back on my Josh McDaniels one time ago, but, you know, just giving a preview to Sunday, I still got confidence, of course, in New England. I wouldn't be surprised if they go down there and get a win. But that's probably one of the last teams you want to play in the NFL going into timid or questioning yourself.
Right.
The Ravens are physical.
Sure.
And they're coming for them. You know, so I would, pass. I mean, you know, of course, going back to last season and missed field goals, they're going to come out there with something, with a point to prove. So Josh McDaniels needs to get it together because the team itself, because like I said, you just don't want to go down there and place a physical Ravens team at home questioning yourself.
This is a hugely important week of practice for many, many reasons, Melvin. Many reasons.
Right.
Josh and the players have got to get on the same page. Tom's got to learn Kellen Winslow. Kellen's got to learn Tom. If they're going to make this two tight end thing work, he's got to get up to speed, and he's got to get up to speed really fast.
Yeah, because you need that win to kind of you know, still let everybody in the AFC know who's the top dog, so to speak. So you don't, I just don't want to go out there and get blown out 30-13 or something like that. And
right.
Now the defense who we've been praising heavily for these last couple of weeks, goes up there and plays a real offense. And now we're questioning the defense again. We're questioning the offense. We're questioning the whole team.
Yep.
Special teams. You know, you just don't want that type of performance. But
very true.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what happens. I still think that'd be fine. I think they'll be okay. They'll get it together.
They're going to get tested this week, without a doubt, yeah. Man. Melvin, yep, it's sure. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
You too, John.
Thanks. Take
I'll
care.
See you later.
All right. Melvin in Tennessee. Let me get right back to the phones. So hang on for a moment. I want to get a couple of emails in here. Raphael says, I wanted to see if it's just me or if you guys agree. Do you think Brady's part of the problem when it comes to the fact that it's so hard for wide receivers to get in sync with him? It seems that everything needs to be perfect for Brady to throw the ball, whereas before, in the Super Bowl winning years, he'd improvise and get the best out of what he had. I don't understand why every week you see Jag quarterbacks take deep shots down the field without that hesitation, sideline or otherwise, and the receivers seem to make the plays. There's no doubt he has better talent around him now, but it just seems that he's getting more timid out there. In other words, going backwards. You know, Raphael, that's actually it's an interesting point. It seems like they always have to come up to Brady. But you have to also realize the Patriots' offense is an intricate one. Brady's just following the playbook. And if the receivers aren't on the same page as Brady, then there's going to be out of sync. He's just doing his job and what the coaches are asking him to do. Maybe other playbooks are more simplistic. I don't know. I'm not inside the other playbook, so I couldn't help you with that. I understand your question. It's fair to say that maybe if you brought it to a certain level, more guys could contribute, but then it's also fair to say, well, then defenders might also be able to have a clue as to what's coming. Does that make any sense? I'm still not willing to go against what Tom has done in the past, just based on his track record, so I'm willing to still give him the benefit of the doubt based on his previous performances. But I do see what you're saying, and I think part of the reason why we've seen some bad throws, yeah, he's had a bum shoulder in the past, but I think he's a little skittish when it comes to the offensive line, not knowing if he's going to get hit or not. And that's why some of those throws are low. And so it's going to be up to the O-line more than anything else to make sure he stays protected so he's got the time to do the proper reads and to allow the receivers to run the proper routes that they're supposed to run so then he can hook up with them. Chad in Douglasville, Georgia says, I think the reason for all of this wide receiver depth worrying is because a lot of fans got spoiled by Randy Moss and missed the big plays he made. But the wide receiver core we have is fine. Get over Moss, Pats Nation. I miss him too. And then he says, F the Jets. I love rivalries, don't you? They're just good. Just hard to get rid of. Here's Ken in North Carolina. Ken, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Ken. How you doing today?
First time I've talked to you.
I'm glad you took the time. Thanks for coming.
Well, not only I took the time, but, you know, it's better than sitting in a room with a bunch of lawyers like the guys ahead of you.
I love it. That's great. Well,
they can argue about anything.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. So then you share with me some of your football knowledge since you took the time. What do you think?
Well, I think that Josh McDaniels really needs to get some real deep soul searching on his calling last week. I wasn't able to get the whole game. I have NFL Red Zone.
Right.
So I only got certain parts of it. But that Danny Woodhead play with a throwback, I was going,
Funny you mentioned that. Yeah, you mentioned that because Eric Scalavino and I just talked about it, and really what happened was that it was just a breakdown in execution, that the play call actually could have worked What's that?
Any play can work.
Right.
But you've got the smallest man on your team that has probably the smallest hands, who is not used to throwing a football, on the right side, where you've had breakdowns all day long. I was like, and that was one of the plays I did get to see. I was going, what? Come on.
Well,
this was not a smart call.
Believe me, I thought the same thing. And I know a lot of other people thought the same thing as well. And as Eric explained, he went back to look at the videotape, saw where the breakdowns occurred, that if the breakdowns hadn't occurred and just missed assignments, that, you know, still you have to complete the pass, but it wasn't necessarily the play call as it was the execution of the play call. So really,
there is no question about that.
What
are you asking to execute the play?
Okay, that's a good point. Okay, and that's an entirely different matter altogether. And maybe what they've done here is they've underestimated the ability of those players to execute that. But see, from a coaching point of view, you bring these guys in, you coach them up, then you have every reason to expect they're going to be able to execute the play that you have called. Now, it broke down, and it broke down miserably, and they lost the game. So now the coaches have to do some soul-searching and reevaluating of the personnel. And now they have to decide, okay, we get into this situation again, and this play is called for. Do we have a reasonable expectation of it, you know, being successful? Or are we shooting our own selves in the foot because we don't have guys that are smart enough to carry this off? And this is what needs to be determined starting this week.
I love Denny Woodhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't misunderstand me there.
Right.
But I would have called him on that play.
Yeah, well, he's certainly one of them. Yeah. But it also had to do with some offensive line breakdowns and some other areas as well.
And that is always true.
So, I mean, it was a multiple system failure on that particular play call.
Anyway, and that wasn't what based the game by any stretch.
Right.
You know, maybe we would have gotten a field goal. Maybe Gronkowski, that hold was, it was a hold, but, man, they could have called that every play.
Yes, yes.
That whole game.
Yes, sir. That's correct. We made that statement yesterday that what happened on that particular play probably doesn't get called on any other play, and it probably occurs on every other play in every football game that's ever been played. I mean, his hands were inside. Yeah. They're where they're supposed to be. It probably doesn't get called 8 out of 10 times.
You know that.
Right.
Your question was what we need to think about that
If you were Josh McDaniels, what would you do? If I'm Josh McDaniels, I would what?
I would, first of all, get points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am really strongly in agreement with Josh that we've got to run a 50-50 defense. But you got to get the points up there first before you start the running plays.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go back and take a look at what we did last year when we never controlled the ball for 50% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Get the points on the ball on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's start doing some running and razzle-dazzle, if you'll excuse the 60s.
Sure.
Terminology of, you know, the Danny Woodhead to the quarterback to, whoever's downfield.
Absolutely. Right.
Play those plays after we get something of a lead. We don't do that at 6-6 or, 9-6. No, these are things, the times that we've got to get up and sort of beat them mentally. It's got to be in the first half.
Okay. So you want, if you're Josh McDaniels, you want to get the jump on the other guy, score quickly, and then basically step on their throats, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think that makes
a
lot of sense.
Put right on the throat.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, especially this week against Baltimore, when it's a tough opponent. You're going to be in a hostile environment. You got a great defense. You have an improved offense. You had best not play from behind this week.
And I'll tell you, our defense, frankly, nobody's talking about them.
Well, it's because of the huge misfires on offense. Is that why, we're all talking this week? But you're correct. We should be talking about it. And we were talking about this with Jerry Sandusky of the Baltimore Ravens a short while ago. But the fact is that Baltimore's offense has opened up some eyeballs. And the Patriots' defense right now is second in the NFL in yards allowed. Number two.
We were 31st.
That's correct. So we were second to worst last year. We're second to best this year. We're only 2 weeks in, but I'd still say that's a significant improvement.
And, I saw some things about Chandler Jones maybe not being where he should be. I think he has done a great job. Dante Hightower. I think the secondary, which I was really concerned about, did very well last week.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of that is due to the pressure that, you know, the front seven are, you know, are putting on the quarterback, but I also give the cover guys a little bit more credit. You know, I think Steve Gregory is getting it as well. I just, you know, there is some improved play. There's more improvement that needs to work.
There's always improvement.
But there it's steps in the right direction.
Oh, I'll tell you, I am, like I say, I always play defense when I play football. And, I mean, these guys just make my heart sing.
That's good. That's good. Glad to hear it.
Because, and, you know, let's face it. When Bruschi and Vinatieri and, you know, all those guys back in, what, 03, 04,
right.
up to 07.
Right, right.
That defense controlled. And
it
one thing I learned very early was offense scores points, defense wins games.
Right. And I think that old adage.
Yeah, I think that's where I want to see it this year.
And I think the old adage is probably the Patriots are going to be trying to get back to that as close as they can, at least from all indications here early on. Ken, thanks for taking the time to call today. It's greatly appreciated, and I hope you'll do it again.
I will, certainly.
Enjoy the attorney talk today.
Oh, no, well, listen, I've given up on that. I mean, you know, I've got enough lawyers in my business. I don't need any more.
Okay, fair enough. Ken, thank you so much for the time. We sure appreciate that. 508-298-0398. Again, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline if you want to jump in. Let's get some of the emails in here, webradio@patriots.com. We've had several people that want to contribute to the program. Well, here's one that came through blank. That works. Bill says, John, today is Talk Like a Pirate Day. I look forward to your pirate voice. Is today Talk Like a Pirate Day? Did I miss out on this?
I'm seeing it everywhere on social media, so I'm guessing so.
It is?
Yeah.
Arrgh!
Yeah. It's, yeah. I don't know how you come up with this stuff, but...
Arrgh, matey! I don't know. Is that really... I missed that on social media today.
No, I think it is. I just don't know who declares it. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Did Twitter do that? Okay. Well, there you go. That's all I can give you, Bill. Sorry. Arrgh! Not happy with me Patriots from Sunday, matey! Okay, that's enough. I just wanted to add my two doubloons on Hernandez. It be what it be. The Cardinals be in the wake, and the bow is toward the Ravens. Arrgh! That's pretty good, Bill. I like that. You like my impression? Chris says, if I'm Josh McDaniels, I would get back to the short game. Slot receivers across the middle, maybe some crossing patterns, screens to receivers and backs, especially Ridley, throw to Gronk. This could be, oh, I see what he's saying, especially Ridley, and then throw to Gronk. It could be mid-range as well. Bottom line, get rid of the ball quickly. And then at the right moment, flea flicker to Lloyd. Ha! That could work. And please, no trick reverse switcheroo end-arounds that get busted 15 yards in the backfield. Okay. I can understand where your thought process is coming from, Chris. Do I have to answer everything in pirate voice? I don't know. TG and NJ, if I was Josh McDaniels, I would throw the ball to Wes until Bernard Pollard injures him and he's on IR for the rest of the season and the ridiculous Wes Welker talk could stop. Arr. I feel like Patchy the Pirate on SpongeBob SquarePants. And now you're saying, oh, my God, how does Rook know that one? See, Kevin's in there shaking his head right now. This comes from years of growing up with SpongeBob when the young one was a wee lad. Oh, my.
Remember when you had me download that SpongeBob dolphin clip?
Yes.
Yeah, so I knew you watched it.
Yes, yes. I haven't watched him in a while, though. Yes. That's the best dolphin imitation we've been able to find on the Internet. So whenever we play Miami, that usually is a fair piece of the conversation during the week. Yeah, I haven't watched in a while. Okay, I'm digressing now. Don't need Eric to digress around on this show. TG says, seriously, though, don't think there is anything the offense can do here. Only hope is that the D steps up and slows down Ray Rice and the Flacco so it doesn't turn out to be too embarrassing. Really? He says, them Ravens are pissed off about last week's loss, pissed off about last year's AFC champ game loss, and they hate the Patriots as much as any other team out there. Arr. Is their O-line somewhat suspect? Could we at least run the ball with a little success? Well, yeah, I think we already have, haven't we? Did we not, you know, did Steven really not go for 125 against the Titans in week one? I mean, he rushed for what? Only 71, I think, this last week, but largely because, you know, Arizona was doing a good job of jamming it, and then the Patriots got in a situation where they had to throw the football late to get back in the game when they fell down by 11 points. Not much you can do about running the ball there. Bob sends this in. He says, if I was Josh McDaniels, I would rehire Randy Moss. That's Bob in Montreal. Well, unfortunately, Randy Moss is employed with the San Francisco 49ers. Now, to his extent, he may be underemployed because I think he only caught one ball last week. In fact, I think he was only targeted the one time. But, okay, whatever. Adam in Fort Worth says, John, if I'm Josh McDaniels, I would open the damn playbook. I'm sure Josh and company have some new stuff they will try to implement, but we are also talented enough on offense. And if we execute, will be just fine. Last week, this week, and every other week is about execution. Plain and simple. You don't execute, you lose. Time to man up offense. In the words of BB, do your job. It's Adam in Fort Worth. Really, honestly, Adam could not say it any better. Everybody's got to do their job. Last week, not everybody did their job, and they lost. There were breakdowns in several areas, especially on offense, and we saw the offense sputter. The defense played well enough to win last week. I think we all can agree there. You know, the turnovers caused some problems last week. Certainly, the block punt is as good as a turnover. It was knocked out of bounds at the 2-yard line, and, you know, they're able to knock it in. So there's a free 7 points right there, basically, for Arizona. If that kick does not get blocked, the Patriots still probably win that game. As poorly as they played, they were that close to winning it. So you got to do your job. And it's not just the offense, it's the special teams too. And this is one of the things that the Patriots did address with the signings yesterday and Nico Kudavides coming back in. One of the things. Obviously, nobody's surprised at all that Deion Branch is back. It gives Brady a little more confidence, I think. And the fact that he's got a familiar target in which to throw to on offense. So as far as wideouts are concerned, you have Brandon Lloyd, you have Wes Welker, you have Julian Edelman, and now you have Deion Branch. That's probably options 1, 2, 3, and 4 in that order. And you might even flip-flop Edelman and Welker, because I've seen written in several areas where, based on Edelman getting the start last week, technically, that makes him the number two option for Brady. Now, I don't know that I'm going to go that far, and I don't know that it's necessarily fair to put a tag like that on a particular player. Oh, he's the first option. Oh, he's the third option. Oh, he's the 12th option. I don't know that that's really accurate to do. I think the option is whoever's open. That's who's getting the ball. And I understand a bit what Eric Scalavina was telling us at the you know, right before the beginning of the second hour of the program today, is that part of the reason behind this that really hasn't been discussed in all this whole, you know, Welker issue, Welker gate, for lack of a better phrase here, and whether he's getting enough time and whether or not the Patriots are holding the man down and whatever. Part of it is that they have to see what Julian Edelman can do. And the only way that they can see what he can do is to put him in similar situations that Wes Welker has previously been in himself. Doesn't that make sense to you? That makes sense to anybody? If we're going to have Edelman as Welker's eventual replacement, and we've already said, and I've gone on record here, I'd love to see him come back. I don't think he's coming back next year, Wes Welker. I just don't. I think he'll go free agency. I don't think the Patriots will capitulate with the $11.5 million or whatever it's going to cost him if they franchise him again. I don't think the two sides are apparently going to be able to come to any kind of a long-term agreement. I think he's done here. That doesn't mean I hate him, and that doesn't mean they shouldn't use him. But as a team, you have to see what the other guy can give you. Maybe if you put Edelman out there and you determine in game situations that he can't do the job, then maybe they make an effort to re-sign Wes Welker, more so than they're thinking right now. Is that not logical to anybody? Edelman can't do it. Okay, now we need to go re-sign Wes. I think that the Patriots are doing nothing more than their due diligence in this matter, and they're trying to see if Edelman's the guy. Now, I also believe in certain instances, and this is what the company line has been this week, and we talked about this yesterday, and I've had, you know, several people say, oh, you got to be kidding me. There's no way that in any way Julian Edelman's a better player than Wes Welker. Well, in certain personnel groupings, when you're talking about blocking downfield, he is. It doesn't take anything away from Wes. He's a tough son of a gun. We all know that. He's a way better receiver. We all know that. He's not the same type of physical player that Edelman is. And they feel like Edelman is a better blocker in some instances with these personnel groupings on the field. That's why Edelman got the start this week. And add to that the fact they got to see what they can get out of the guy. He has to be able to play in the same situations that Wes Welker has been in himself. And really, who better than to try that against a team like Arizona? It's a team that kind of you thought you were going to win against. Now, clearly, Arizona thought differently. And this is where, I'm going back to something that we talked again about yesterday, but this is where maybe the Patriots and some of the people and coaches and whomever underestimated Arizona. Didn't give them enough credit. Hey, we can get away with putting Edelman in here because it's not going to kill us against Arizona. Well, it hurt. It hurt. I'll be interested to see what happens this week. Does Edelman come out again? And listen, they're not idiots, okay? They know that this talk is going on. They may not be paying attention to it directly, but they know the talk is going on. And so if Edelman comes in and starts again, and let's say Welker drops back to only, you know, three or four targets for the game or whatever, they know it's going to be an issue. And I don't think they really want this issue to climb up on their backside again. They loathe that. They don't like that. They don't want off-field issues. So I'll be interested to see what happens, because if it does happen that way, then next week will be fun in more ways than one. And I'm not sure it's going to be fun that we're going to like. Clay in Foster, Rhode Island says, I'm going to go back to what has worked for me in the past. If I were Josh McDaniels, I would go back to what has worked for me in the past. I have arguably the best quarterback that has ever played the game, and I'm going to open it up and now use the run to just keep them honest. I am not going to pass on first and run on second like all the other teams know we do. Time to open it up and score some points. We will throw the ball and throw it often. We will get a lead and not let our cleats off the throat until it's over. Tom has his weapons. Now let's see what he can do with them. Clay, it seems like that's leaning toward the majority opinion here. Going back to the way it was. But slightly. Jay from Columbus, Ohio. For the first time in a long time, I think there is an offense identity crisis. On third down, the Patriots are running the ball when they should be putting it in the hands of the best player on third down, and that's Tom Brady. Sure, I understand running the ball is important, but let's not go away from what we do best. Throw the ball. I think they ran the ball too much Sunday. Have Brady throw at least 50 times a game, then sprinkle some runs in here and there. Okay. More people seem to be moving that direction again. John writes, if I was Josh McDaniels, I would stay the course. Not change my future plans, but work toward it slowly, still relying on the known commodities and what works for the team and personnel that we have, as has been on display over the past few years. All right, there's always an exception to every rule, right? Okay, the question of the day is, webradio at patriots.com, ace ticket hotline 508-298-0398, John.Rook on Facebook, at JRook0722 on Twitter. If I were Josh McDaniels, I would blank. Fill in the blank. Go.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
About 10 minutes left of the program, then Kerry Byrne and Cold Hard Football Facts joined us right here on Patriots.com Radio. and you don't know what Kerry Byrne is, and you don't know what Cold Hard Football Facts is, I suggest that you stick around because these guys really get into the numbers aspect of professional football. It's a lot of fun. They've got some good stuff, and Kerry's the one that makes it all happen, and so he's following here at 4 o'clock Eastern time. In the meantime, webradio at patriots.com. The email, acetickethotline, 508-298-0398. Let me get back to some of the emails that we have already today. Robin says, if I was Josh McDaniels, and our question of the day, if I was Josh McDaniels, I would what? Robin says, I would ask, if I was Josh, I'd ask Bill and Bob if Charlie was available to be hired as a consultant. Hey, contrary to belief, it's manly to ask for help. Well, Charlie's already ensconced in a job. He's got a job as the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks. So I'm not sure that he'd be available, although I suppose you could always pick up the phone and say, yo, Charlie, remember when we tried to do this a few years ago? Well, you know, could you help a buddy out here? And what would you do? You could always say that, I suppose. He's got his own, you know, issues, I think, trying to revive a Kansas Jayhawk football program. That's Robin in Alaska. Thank you, Robin. Frank says, I would remember this team, although making it to the Super Bowl fairly often, has not won it in years. I would remember, although change is scary, change is good. It is better to suffer growing pains while support is still on the field than when there is none. Time to be brave enough to take that step to win and not hide in the pages of history, afraid to fail. History will not change. It is written fact. So we're getting... We're going philosophical here, but that's good, Frank. I like it. Change is scary, but change is also good. Better to suffer growing pains while support is still on the field than when there is none. It's clear, and I think the way we're moving with this, if I'm reading into this correctly, Frank, and we've talked about it, that the Patriots have decided they are going to bank on their two young, physical, talented tight ends as receivers, and how best to utilize them. And so the thought process is moving from 3 and 4 wide, spread it out, empty backfield, wing it down the field, where it's going to be a little bit more, you know, conservative, at least in looks, but you still have the ability to throw it down the field when you want to because you've got individual talents that sort of belie the formation. In other words, you got a guy like Hernandez who's technically a second tight end, yet he runs around like a receiver or a tailback. And so this is the change here, and it is scary to go through it, but the change could be good because you got these tight ends locked up for the next 6-7 years. So now's the time to start the change. And even though we've lost now one of these cogs, so to speak, one of these key, you know, members of our personnel, we're not going to change the thought process here because looking at it long term, this is still in our best interest to go forward. So let's plug in the gap, and we know who we can go get to plug in the gap, and we really won't miss much of a beat, if at all, and that's getting Kellen Winslow to replace Hernandez until Hernandez gets healthy. How did I do, Frank? Did I get your meaning? Howard in Stratford, Connecticut says, if I were Josh McDaniels, I would put a bad game behind me and move forward with the weapons I have. As Josh, I'd be concerned with the offensive line against the DL of the Ravens. Granted, the DL isn't as scary without Terrell Suggs, but it is very good nonetheless. With that, I said I would throw first to set up the run. To slow down the defensive line pass rush and keep Tom upright, I would use the tight end, wide receiver, running back screens. Primary passing plays would be short, medium depth in nature, hopefully causing the safeties to start to creep closer to the line of scrimmage, and then pick my points to take a deep shot over the top with Lloyd. Somebody else has mentioned that today. Sprinkled in would be off-tackle runs by Ridley, who I'd also keep in and run routes within the passing game just to keep the D guessing as if it's a run or a pass. In other words, don't telegraph it. Ridley, run, Woodhead, pass. To boot, I'd also throw in a trick play or two, again, to keep the D guessing. Let's not forget the defensive coordinator for the Ravens is Dean Pease, quite familiar with the Patriots, though, and its tendencies. They really needed to change things up this week, and I think outside the box, to make this a very difficult game to call for Pease. And that's a great point. one of the things that, you know, I didn't really have a chance to mention with Jerry Sandusky earlier in the program because he was a little bit on a time schedule trying to juggle all of, you know, his duties that he has to juggle. But, yeah, Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, former Patriots defensive coordinator. And you know he knows the Patriots philosophy about as well as anybody. You know that, quite frankly, he would love to be able to stick it to New England. He left on good terms here. I think they just agreed to disagree and move on. It wasn't quite working out as the D coordinator, and they allowed a guy like Matt Patricia to, well, last year at least, to sort of call the plays, even though technically he's linebacker's coach. And now this year, Patricia is the quote-unquote defensive coordinator with the title in tow. Patriots always tend to go young and teach these guys. And so, yeah, Pease is going to know the Patriots' tendencies on offense as well as anybody, and add to that the personnel that the Ravens have on offense, or excuse me, on defense, and yikes. Now you can see where there could be some potential for problems. So, sure, keep them off balance as best you can. Remember that you do have weapons, and don't be afraid to use them on Sunday. Jonathan says, John, sorry, but when Brady goes deep, he overthrows his receivers more often than not. I believe that ESPN Boston had a stat saying that Brady led the league last year in overthrows 30-plus yards down the field. No need to be sorry about that. I would tend to agree with you. Certainly seems to be that way. He's done that on, what, two, three occasions now with Brandon Lloyd in the first two games of the year. He says, I think it's Brady taking a shot, but not wanting to put the ball in a spot that the other team could get a pick. The comfort level will never be the same as what he had with Randy Moss. There's just never been another player quite like him on deep balls. That also could be a legitimate point right there. Just not too many other Randy Mosses. I'm still willing to, you know, we thought we were going to get a little bit of that last year with Ocho Cinco. We didn't. Now we think we might have a chance to get a little bit of that with Brandon Lloyd, and they haven't clicked yet. It's 2 weeks into the season. Let's hold off on, you know, this is a failure until at least we get, you know, midway through the year. And then maybe we can determine that, you know, the deep ball just isn't going to be there like we thought it might be with Lloyd. David from Denver. There are definitely pluses and minuses with the running game. First, the good. Stephen Ridley has completely proven me wrong this year. Thought he'd be terrible this year and eventually lose out to Vereen. Even though Ridley will have his runs for two-yard loss here and there, the guy doesn't lose his footing. He turns three-yard gains into 10-yard gains. After week one, I was giddy, like a schoolgirl, seeing a running game actually working in New England. But now the bad. I don't understand why Danny Woodhead is still a Patriot. He made the team because he was able to beat out an old, worn-down Kevin Faulk, but now he just can't compete. Even further, our play calling with him is ridiculous. Third and long runs to Woodhead make me cringe. Not only can he not run, he can't pick up a blitz if his life depended on it. Well, David, I happen to disagree with that. He can. He did not play well at all this last week, and the play call that he took the big loss on was not entirely his fault. It was a complete and total personnel breakdown and execution breakdown. All over the place. Is Woodhead your number one guy? No. But he made the team for a reason, because they like some of the other things that he can do. So let's you know, I think everybody deserves a pass. Everybody deserves a chance to make up for the mistakes. Let's see how this thing plays out. And let's hope that it plays out adequately. Sheila says, okay, Oh, this is to Kevin or whoever is doing the website. All right, I'm going to leave this for you then, Kevin. And she says, I guess there's something wrong with the website. Ever since the site is updated, it takes forever to get a video or even an audio file to run. Today I tried to listen live. It opened to the drop-down listening. I selected PFW. That was it. Nothing. Do I need to update something or download something? The guess may be you might need to reset. And again, this is just me. You might just need to reset your server. And
yeah, unfortunately, I'm not in too much charge of the website.
Yeah, I know.
That's Christopher upstairs. But we have had issues, though, since the NFL, the league took over, like, all the teams' websites. Mm-hmm. We had to, like, install this new platform that Fred was talking about. And we had issues with, like, you know, people had the stream drop every 10 minutes and then have to refresh and reopen the page. So I know it's been an issue.
All right, so in that particular case, then, well, if you're listening to this, then you fixed your problem, haven't you? Anytime something doesn't load, just for future reference for anybody that's listening here to the program, anytime something doesn't load for you, the best guess is to just reboot. You know, I would say, you know, click off the site. restart your computer. I would even go so far as to reset your modem. Okay, all you have to do is just unplug it, generally speaking, wait 15 seconds, and plug it back in. That usually resets your system. And then once you reset it, then you can try to load again immediately and see if that helps you. That's the best advice that I've gotten from my, you know, from my own, you know, particular people who are involved and, you know, my own servers and companies that I work with and all that stuff. So just sometimes, you know, just have to take the time to kind of reset it and move on. And that's really where we are. All right, coming up here very, very shortly, Kerry Byrne, Cold Hard Football Facts. Kerry, how are we doing today?
John, it couldn't be better. How are you doing?
Fantastic. You were shocked, I assume, as just about everybody else around here for what transpired on Sunday.
Well, you know, we're going to get into some of the details about that, the data, the stats, the Cold Hard Football Facts. The first time the Patriots lost a football game because of a muffed kick in 13 years. It had been a long time, since 1999. Tom Brady was getting ready to play Alabama in the Orange Bowl the last time that happened, John.
Seriously?
So been a while, yep.
Wow. All right. Well, see, I knew that you would know something like that. So, Kerry and Football Nation, that's coming up next here. So make sure you stick around for that here on Patriots.com Radio. I am going to finish off right here with Mary Beth, who says on Facebook, if I were Josh McDaniel, I would find a way to get it done. That's my job. Instead of trying the same plays that just aren't working.
Can't argue with that advice, John,
nope.
Can you?
Nope.
Pure wisdom.
Get her done. That's all we care about. Just get her done. Our thanks to Jerry Sandusky, the radio voice of the Baltimore Ravens, for joining us in the program. Eric Scalavino as well for joining us, as he always does in the opening hour of programs. Tomorrow, here in the playbook, Aaron Wilson covers the Ravens for the Carroll County Times. You'll join us. The one and only Russell S. Baxter, pro football guru, will join us as well as we roll down week 3 in the NFL. Kerry Byrne will lead us that direction coming up next. For Kevin, I'm John. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel, manana.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.